Well, John, I don't think either of us are particularly surprised that the Timberwolves won this series, that they beat the Phoenix Suns. I thought we both thought the Wolves were the better team. They had home court advantage. They had more depth. I expected them to wear them down. A sweep is not only unexpected, it is highly impressive.
Yeah, you're right, Jim. I think that's the way to frame it is. I think, you know, we had the live show with Tim Connolly right before the playoffs started at Head Flyer, and I said Wolves in seven. I felt good about that, but I certainly had some trepidation just given what we saw in the regular season. And to see it play out the way that it did, where the Wolves just absolutely took apart the Suns piece by piece and reduced them to flopping whiners and just frustrated them to no end. It was unexpected and like really just kind of makes you start to think, well, how far can this team really go? Because I thought that was, even though the Suns clearly have some of their own issues that they're working through, they're still a remarkably talented group that was playing very well at the end of the season. And the Wolves absolutely chewed them up and spit them out. It was remarkable. I don't know that any team in the playoffs so far, maybe Oklahoma City, has looked as sharp as the Wolves have. And to complete it the way that they did, you know, on Sunday night with Ant doing what he did, with Cat doing what he did, just about the best case scenario you could hope for if you're a Wolves follower.
Yeah, I think when people asked me, like in Outstate Radio, my pick, I said Wolves in six. Then I watched game one, and I thought, well, that doesn't make sense anymore. I think if they're going to win, they're probably going to win at home in game five. But the sweep, still, you just don't pick a sweep over Kevin, over those stars, even with that team's flaws. I also thought it was a triumph of coaching. I mean, Frank Vogel has won a championship before, and I thought, you know, Finch had more pieces to play with, but I also thought the way they defended the Suns, the way they wore them down. I mean, some of the defensive sequences in this series at the beginning of game two, third quarter last night, they just took a very good offensive team and made them look like they couldn't complete a pass.
Yeah, I think it was a remarkable coaching job by Chris Finch and his whole staff. I mean, name them all: Pablo Prigioni, Elson Turner, Kevin Hansen, Mike Inouye, you know, Jeff Newton, Joe Boylan, Chris Hines, all of the guys that are involved in this. And it's a large staff, but they did a fantastic job game planning and really kind of just making, it wasn't necessarily, you know, wholesale changes to what happened in the regular season. Even though the Suns had handled them the way that they did, there certainly were some schematic changes defensively, some matchup changes that played into it. But I just thought that, you know, what you heard players talk all throughout the series, how important that week leading into the series was for them in terms of preparation, film study, practicing, you know, all of that stuff. You know, the Wolves coaching staff got these players ready, much more ready to play this series than the Suns and their coaches got them. I mean, yeah, there were plenty of times throughout the series you're just wondering, what are the Suns thinking here? Why are they doing things this way? Well, part of it was because the Wolves forced them to do it that way. And, you know, Chris Finch finished third coach of the year voting that was announced on Sunday, but he could have easily won coach of the year for the job that he did. And this staff had these guys ready to go and ready to really attack all of the Suns' weaknesses, and also ready to cover up their own weaknesses. It was, you know, it was just super impressive the way that they did it. And you could just see every single game, it was, all right, just once the team gets into it, once they figure out exactly how the Suns are attacking them, they're going to adjust, and then they're going to shut it off. And they did that every single game, all four games. In the third quarter, the game was over. And that's a testament to obviously the players' focus and determination, but also to what the coaches were seeing and how they were able to implement game plans and adjust on the fly when something wasn't working.
I haven't even introduced the show. It's Monday morning. We just both stayed up late to watch the Wolves last night. I guess I should introduce the show. I wanted to dive right into what happened in that series. And by the way, we are recording on Monday, so we are not previewing the next series yet. because we haven't seen what happens with the Nuggets and the Lakers. We will get to that eventually, of course. This is the John Krasinski Show. This is part of TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen to this show or any show you like at the network, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio. We want to thank Defined Destinations, TSR Injury Law, 612-TSR-TIME, Nas Reed. Head Flyer Brewing, Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops Clothing Line, and once again, thanks to Head Flyer for having Tim Connelly out. He gave some great insights. It was a great way to preview this first playoff series. And thanks to everyone who listens. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Do you think that kind of dominance would translate to other teams in the playoffs, or were the Suns particularly vulnerable because they lack size and depth?
You know, isn't it funny, though, Jim, that we started this series thinking,
tough matchup.
Terrible matchup. Yep. Like, this is the exact kind of team that should be able to exploit the Wolves. Going yep. small, lots of shooting, all spread around. And now it ends with us, with Charles Barkley, with so many others saying, oh, you know, the Suns were just the Wolves were a terrible matchup for the Suns, and I was struck by that because
yep.
I think it's telling that you know, when you look at how this series played out, that it did turn so dramatically to I think it went so well for the Wolves that you almost look for ways to explain it away, like right. it must be a matchup thing mm-hmm. now. I do think, let's say they play Denver in the next round, Denver is going to be a much harder challenge for the Wolves. No question about it. Just given their pedigree, given that they have the best player in the world, given that their starting five is so balanced. It's not just a three-headed monster like the Suns, given that they move the ball and pass the ball much better than Phoenix does. Like that's a difficult matchup. Much more difficult than Phoenix is. But I do think with the way that the Wolves looked in this series, I think it looked so lopsided because they played so well. And we can look at it and say, I still think that they have a lot of improvement to do. Naz Reid didn't have a good series. Mike Conley was up and down. You know, in the last game, Nikhil couldn't really hit a shot. You know, Cat had was in foul trouble most of the series. So when you try to kind of forecast this, this is not a case of the Timberwolves coming out of this series thinking they are playing at their absolute highest level, that everything went perfectly for them, and that when they face some adversity, they're going to be in real trouble. I think that the way that they are playing right now, with how balanced they are, with how many different moves they can make, they are a versatile team that can match up when a team is bigger. Both the Lakers and Denver are much bigger, much more rugged than the Suns were. But I think that plays right into the Wolves' hands. They want physicality. They want to, you know, to really bump and bang and go at you a little bit. So if that's what Denver wants to do, they're ready for it. If that's what the Lakers want to do, they're ready for it. And so I just think they're really prepared to face any kind of lineup they're going to face, and they're going to go into it with a lot of confidence that they can win a series. And I think they should. I think they should go into, you know, it's probably going to be Denver, but I think they can go into that feeling like they can win that series. I just think when you have Edwards playing like he is right now and the defense rolling like it is, you're going to be in every game.
And we are so used to Minnesota teams having significant injuries in or before the playoffs that every ends up with this sense of regret that they couldn't take their best shot. Interesting development. Jamal Murray questionable for Monday night with a pulled calf. Calves are very delicate. If Jamal Murray can't play or can't play well or can't play a lot of minutes, man, that could swing a second round series.
It absolutely could. And I mean, it could actually even extend this series with the Lakers
right.
Longer. And maybe that's not good, or where it wears down the Nuggets a little bit more. The Nuggets are one of those teams that do not have a lot of depth behind them. I think that you have seen Peyton Watson and Christian Brown really play well off the bench. It's in time at times for the Nuggets, but beyond that, there's not a whole lot there. And especially for Jamal Murray, they do not have a replacement for him in the lineup. Reggie Jackson is just okay and is nowhere near the playmaker, their creator, the pick and roll ball handler with Jokic that Jamal Murray is. And so, like you said, if the calf proves to be a little bit more significant and keeps him out for, let's even say, the first game or two, which would be in Denver, man, that's a huge swing for the Wolves. And that gives them a chance to get up on them or at least get a game on the road early and win home court advantage back in the series. And so everyone's going to be watching that very closely. Those calf injuries can linger. They can bring about more severe injuries if you're not really careful with it. So we will have to see how Jamal Murray responds starting tonight as we're recording this on Monday against the Lakers in game five, if he plays or not. But that even extends going forward here. And so it's something to watch. The Wolves did get out of the first round relatively unscathed. Ant turned an ankle. I think Nas was a little bit banged up. Kyle Anderson still working through his hip issue. But by and large, they are in good shape health-wise, and they're going to get a full week here, essentially, to mend any of the bumps and bruises. And so this is really working out very much ideally for the Timberwolves right now.
I have to apologize. My office, they're doing some work around me. You might hear some annoying sounds. I hope they don't interfere with the podcast too much, but that's what's happening. If you hear it, it's not your device. It is construction going on around me. I apologize. We'll try to get through the best we can. Okay, I want to talk about Anthony Edwards next. Probably delayed that too long, but there are so many angles here to talk about. First, though, I want to remind you we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios, and we want to hear more about defined destinations. Sure.
Looking to spice up your adventures? Well, you're in luck. Meet Defined Destinations, your local tour company based right here in Minneapolis-St. Paul area with over 25 years of experience crafting unforgettable group tours. At Defined Destinations, they're all about making travel easy and oh so exciting. Their 2024 lineup is jam-packed with epic destinations and experiences that are hard to find on your own. From the sun-kissed shores of Croatia to the pasta paradise of Italy, they've got you covered. Plus, they include airfare, tasty meals, and must-see attractions. It's like a vacation jackpot. You'll also want to stay tuned for a sneak peek at the 2025 trips. Trust us, you don't want to miss it. DefinedDestinations.com, where every journey is an adventure. That's DefinedDestinations.com, your ticket to unforgettable experiences.
Thanks to the OGs on this network. TSR Injury Law. They're famous now. They've made themselves famous because they keep winning cases. Now they're buddies with Naz Reid, which is such a cool story in and of itself. As Steve Terry always reminds me, all you really need to know is if you're injured, call 612-TSR-TIME. They'll take care of you or they'll point you in the right direction. They will not charge you unless they win your case, and they win lots of cases. That's why they can hang out with Naz Reid. 612-TSR-TIME. All right. I probably buried the lead. Anthony Edwards played like a superstar in the second half of a clincher. 40 points total, 31 in the second half, tomahawk dunk ending all suspense, plus played a great floor game, rebounded, passed, spectacular block, shared the ball in the early going, which is, I'm not going to go too far with any comparisons, but we really got used to watching Michael Jordan play like that. Take the first half to get comfortable, to get his teammates involved, to get the temperature of the game, and then explode when it was necessary. This was a brilliant performance by Edwards.
I've really tried hard to resist these Michael Jordan comparisons. You put any player, you put LeBron, you put anybody up against that, and it's an impossible mountain to climb. But the more of these performances that come, maybe we're not talking Jordan global impact, that kind of thing, but in terms of style of play, in terms of wanting to rip your heart out and serve it to you on a silver platter, in terms of galvanizing and injecting belief into an entire team, man, it's just starting to be hard to ignore. what we saw in the second half of that game was just jaw-dropping, even by Ant's standards, which are getting higher and higher with every game. You're right, Jim. I think you hit it perfectly in terms of the first half. It demanded of Anthony Edwards that he move the ball, that he look for open teammates. And let's face it, if the Timberwolves had shot even a decent percentage in the first half, Ant would have had 12 assists in this game, not 6. And they would have been leading by 10 at halftime and not down by 5. He played so well from a floor game. He saw the floor unbelievably well. He made the right read and the right pass all of the time. And you just saw that, you knew that eventually with him playing like that, things were going to crack either for his teammates or himself. And it was both in the second half. It was guys starting to hit shots, particularly Karl Anthony Towns, who we have to get to at some point in this game, just being unbelievable. It was also then, as the Suns had more and more trouble with his passing, they had to shade off of him a little bit more, and that opened the door for him to get to the basket. He hit that deep three. He knocked down open shots. He knocked down shots where he was contested. The turnaround jumper that he hit was absolutely Jordan, Kobe, whoever you want to link that to. It was just incredible. And, oh, by the way, he's blocking Devin Booker at the rim. He's locking down Bradley Beal. He's doing everything defensively that you could ask. This is the guy that franchises wait for. This is the guy that GMs just pray falls into their lap because it changes the course of their careers. This is what ownership hopes to get, because literally you can build stadiums with Anthony Edwards. Like, that's what's going to happen here. They're going to build an arena, and it's going to be because Anthony Edwards delivered it. Like, that's the plane that he is ascending to here. And there is nothing that is out of the realm of possibility with him now. He is 22 years old. He has never played a bad playoff game in his career. Like, he has all of it. And you see how his teammates believe in him, and you see how the opponents are absolutely in despair when they know that they can't do anything to stop him. And so for Timberwolves fans who have watched all manner of under-talented teams over the last 20 years, to see one that is more talented than almost any team that they take the floor with, 1 through 7 or 8, and now can say that in almost every series, they can make a claim to having the best player on the floor. It's a wholly unfamiliar position, but it's one that they are in right now. That's the reality of this situation.
A little more business, and we'll get right back to it. Still a lot of topics I want to get to today, including Tim Connolly. We do want to thank Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops clothing line. Promo code. John, I'll let you tell us about it.
Shepherd Goods, sglambchops.com. Go there for super high quality, super comfortable, super stylish clothes. I love their hoodies. I love their shorts. They're the best shorts that I own. And you can go there for affordable clothes, and you're still going to look good. You're also, in supporting sglambchops.com, Shepherd Goods, Lamb Chops clothing, you're supporting local guys who work really hard to support the community that they're involved in. You see Craig and Jordan courtside at Wolves games. They have collaborations with the Timberwolves. They are reaching out to, they do pop-up stores all over the Twin Cities, especially in downtown Minneapolis. They really are embedded in this community, and they have been for a while. If you use the promo code JONK20, J-O-N-K-20, you get 20% off anything that you want at Shepherd's Goods and Lamb Chops clothing. sglambchops.com. Hang around for the rest of this program, and at the end, we will answer a Twitter question. If your question gets chosen, you will get a free pair of Lamb Chops shorts. So once again, sglambchops.com. That's Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops Clothing, and the promo code JohnK20 for 20% off.
And another thank you to Head Flyer Brewing. We've had great shows there. We've had Michael Grady out. We've had Dan Moore. This year, we've had Chris Finch and Tim Connolly. Can't do much better than that. Thanks to John for setting those up. Thanks also to Head Flyer for hosting. What's going on at Head Flyer now?
I mean, everything's going on at Head Flyer right now in the playoffs. I mean, if you see, Steve Terry actually went to, had a little gathering with TSR at Head Flyer for game three, and the place was packed. It was really full last night as well. They are doing drink specials. They have a bunch of TVs in the tap room. So even if it's a rainy night, you can just pile into the very spacious, very open tap room, watch TVs above the bar. There's a huge projection screen on one of the walls. They have merchandise specials and drink specials every night of Wolves games. They also, importantly, stay open late on the Western for these Western Conference games that are going to be starting later and later. So if you want to gather with your friends, get some coworkers, bring your dog, bring your family, hang out, watch games, Timberwolves games at Head Flyer. It's become an absolute destination, and it's super fun to be there with all sorts of Wolves community coming out of the woodwork, enjoying this time in the sun. Plus, the most important thing, Jim, is they have unbelievable beer, any kind of beer you could want. They have some THC seltzers. They have all sorts of different drinks that you could ask for at Head Flyer Brewing in Northeast Minneapolis.
So Chris Finch gets wiped out, serious knee injury. Mike Anori steps up, finishes the game for him. How do you think they manage his injury and his role on the sideline going forward?
Yeah, it's going to be a big question, Jim, because it's a ruptured patella tendon, and that is not like some small thing. That is going to require surgery. I don't know, like, in terms of the leg being mobilized or immobilized and what that looks like. I don't even know if he could sit on the bench and do something from there, because there might be some safety concerns there. We'll find out more this week as it goes along to see exactly what the situation is going to be like. I do know that Chris Finch, it will take an act of God for him not to be there for game one against either Denver or the Lakers. But this might be the act of God. I mean, it's a very serious injury. He was in a lot of pain after the game. And it's a big bit of adversity that the Wolves have to overcome. If Finch cannot coach for game one, if he can't be on the sideline, Mike Anori would be the head coach, the acting head coach. He's done it a couple of times now for Chris Finch when needed. He is a very capable guy. He is really, really smart. The players really respect him. And this coaching staff in general is very tight-knit and really kind of shares a lot of the responsibilities and things. And so I think they could weather it. Obviously, it would not be ideal because Finch is the face of the coaching staff and is, you know, the players feed off of his energy. But they can make it work. It's just a matter of how long will they have to, or will they have to at all. But Mike Anori will be ready if need be. I'm sure we will be finding out in the coming days what sort of this process looks like and what this recovery looks like for Chris Finch, because it was it's a really, really bad injury. And I'm sure he's not feeling good right now.
To me, even if the next series doesn't go well, who knows how the next series will play out and who they're going to play, whatever else. To me, this regular season and this sweep justify the Gobert trade. And I find it very interesting that Tim Connolly has not spent any time gloating.
Yeah, I knew that wouldn't be the case. Like, that's just not in Tim's nature. He just will not be the "I told you so." I guarantee if it comes up, if we had him out at Head Flyer again and we asked somebody, he'd be like, you know, we got lucky. You know, it all just happened to work out, and Finchie did a great job with it and all that. He would pass that off. That's just the way that it is. But I do think, and we've talked with this on this show with Tim Connolly and with Chris Finch at Head Flyer earlier this year, it cannot be understated or overstated. It cannot be overstated how important it was that both Tim Connolly and Chris Finch decided to stick with the Towns Gobert front court, even after it didn't go well last year. There are a lot of GMs, a lot of coaches, a lot of owners that would have said, this ain't working. Get out of it now before it's too late. And let's try and salvage some of the assets that we gave up and recoup some of those and just move forward. They did not. They believed in this when very few other people did, and they stuck with it. And for them to do that and have that discipline and have that faith, it's a big deal. And I know that Tim was at the top of it. He really believed in Rudy Gobert. He really believed that he would be able to be much better in year two, healthier, more in tune with everything, and produce. And yes, it's been a huge turnaround. They did give up a lot for him. He has given them a lot in return. And I think one of the things that was discounted again in terms of evaluating this trade, it was you have mortgaged your future for the present with Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns, and you're putting Anthony Edwards in a bad spot by doing it that way when he's only 21 years old and you're doing it. Here's the thing. What they knew, what I said at the time, was that you also already had Jaden McDaniels in the mix. You already have Naz Reid in the mix. Then Nickeil Alexander-Walker blossoms into something. They have a young core already. So they could afford to try and push in for the present because they don't need the draft to draft other really high level players around Anthony Edwards. They have those guys in place, all 25 and under. And so there's a great mix of veterans and kind of young up and comers on this roster. And that allowed them to take that swing. And so now you have the added benefit of Anthony Edwards is playing in these major meaningful games that are giving him experience going forward that he would not have gotten if Rudy Gobert was not here. And so if Rudy Gobert wasn't here and they were hanging on, they were trying to be in the play-in, they were keep losing in the first round every year, then you're going to hear, well, the Wolves can't build around Anthony Edwards. He's got to go somewhere else. Now they've shown, no, we can build a winning team around you. And you're going to get that experience. You're going to get that taste of meaningful games. And so just from all aspects of the trade, it is working out well. It would really help if they got to the Western Conference Finals or the Finals, you know, this year or next year. That would only further validate it. But that was a lot of the thinking. It wasn't just let's go for a championship because, you know, let's win right now. It was let's develop these young guys and put them in spots to play meaningful games so they have that experience that will pay off down the road as well.
Yes, well said. Also, while the Gobert trade has turned into a win, D'Angelo Russell for Mike Conley and Nickeil Alexander-Walker is one of the it's like a Herschel Walker trade without the draft picks or without. That's probably the wrong way to put it because the Herschel Walker trade was a disaster because of the draft picks. It's a reverse Herschel. It's a lopsided. It's if Herschel Walker had turned into Walter Payton and won 3 Super Bowls or something.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is the reverse Herschel. Now, yeah, I think that there's still more winning to be done here that the Wolves want. But what we have seen so far, the Herschel Walker trade, not only did Herschel flame out for the Vikings, but the Cowboys used a lot of those assets to build a dynasty. The trade assets, some of the players, they did the whole trick where they, didn't worry about those players and those turned into good draft picks. All of that stuff happened. And it's harder to see right now a path where Utah just uses all of these picks that they got from the Wolves and builds the next dynasty out of it. If the picks are toward the bottom of the first round, maybe they hit on them Danny Ainge is a very good evaluator of talent and maybe they hit on them and it does well. Walker Kessler is a good player. He is not better than Rudy Gobert, as a lot of people thought last year. Keontae George, who they got, is a good player and will play for them for a while, but they're not building their dynasty on the backs of that trade, I don't think. And more importantly, Rudy is going to be the defensive player of the year. He played phenomenally well in this series on both ends. He was not played off the floor. He played the Suns off the floor. And so all of that is just working in a much more advantageous and favorable manner for the Minnesota team than that Herschel Walker trade did. And so, you know, there still are going to be people who say they paid too much, and maybe they did. I think they probably could have got him for less. But when you look at the effect that Rudy Gobert has had on this team, on this franchise, on Anthony Edwards, you know, I don't think there's a price tag you can put on that. You know, they are going to come back here for game three if they play Denver in the second round, and that place is going to be just exploding. And they have got behind Rudy Gobert and they stuck with it. And this is, you know, this is exactly what they had hoped was going to happen. And now it is playing out for them. And if they go to the Western Conference Finals, or they go to the if they make it to the finals this year, you know, case closed. It's all over and done with. It's a success no matter what happens going forward. Right now it's already helped them do something they haven't done in 20 years, and they've only done one other time in 35 years. And so that in and of itself is just really compelling and really needed for this franchise.
No doubt. We could talk about this all day. We try to keep these podcasts to a bite-size serving. We're going to keep doing podcasts, obviously. Well, we do them all year round anyway, but we certainly will be doing a lot of podcasts as long as the Timberwolves are rolling through the playoffs here. One more topic for today, and then we'll get to the Twitter question. Karl Anthony Towns. He had some foul trouble in this series, but when he was on the court, I thought he was highly efficient. He shot the lights out. He played good defense. He played good help defense. Him playing on Durant helped set up the rest of the defenders do what they needed to do. What's your assessment of him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was happy for Karl Anthony Towns because he has taken so much criticism over the years, and some of it was very much deserved. He did not play well in a lot of the playoff games prior to this season. There were questions about his ability to kind of put his franchise on his shoulders and make people around him better and win games and not just pile up stats. But what we have seen from him in this series was so overwhelmingly positive, because Towns missed all those games toward the end of the season, comes back a couple games before it, working his way back into shape. You were always wondering, is he going to come back and really try and prove a point? Is he going to, you know, try to justify, you know, his existence and really kind of take things over and bog things down again? And he didn't. He played a very controlled game. Now, he was in foul trouble those first three games, and that was a problem. There's no doubt about that. But when he was on the floor, he didn't force things. He wasn't turning the ball over a ton. He was making the right plays. He was playing good defense. He was helping kind of some of the stretches where the offense was not working. He was the one making a couple of shots, getting to the lane, getting to the free throw line to help keep this thing going. And then game four, I think, was one of the best games he's ever played in a Timberwolves uniform. The rest of the team could not hit a shot in the first half. Everyone was broke. And Karl Anthony Towns was knocking down threes, was getting to the free throw line. I think he was 7 for 9 to start. He was immeasurably important offensively for what this team had to get done to stay in the game so they could be in a position for Ant to take over in the third quarter and bring it home. You know, he hit big shots. He hit huge threes. He was scoring with really quick decisiveness in the post, which is something we hadn't seen from him before. He's making good passes. Everything was under control and mature. And Karl Anthony Towns has said before about how all he wants to do is win. All he wants to do is win. That's all he cares about. Sometimes it was harder to believe that in the past with just the way that he played and the approach that it was taking. In this series, and really for most of this season, he's been total genuine in those remarks. Like, everything he's doing is for the team. And finally, in game four, all of those team first actions actually played into a big role for him offensively. So he had a huge night. But I, you know, more than the scoring, he was hustling for offensive rebounds. He was chasing down loose balls. He was doing everything you could possibly ask of him. And I was just, I really was happy for him, because I think that he has been put in the crosshairs, sometimes very much unfairly. And for him to come through in a big moment like that and seal the victory to get this team to the next round, it was a big moment for him. And he deserves to feel good about what he did in this series, and especially in that game.
No doubt. All right, let's get to our Twitter question.
Yeah, so again, once again, thanks to Shepherd Goods Lamb Chops Clothing Line, JONK20, for 20% off at sglambchops.com. And I'm just looking through. I've got a ton of Twitter questions. Everyone very excited about what's going on here. And here, let's see. Let's go with B.2Live. If we ultimately do play the Nuggets in the second round, what can we learn from last year and our matchups this year that could help us this series? It's a good question. The one thing that we learned in the Suns series is you can't really take a whole lot from the regular season and expect it to just automatically translate. Now, the Wolves played the Nuggets very tough in the regular season, went 2-2. One of the games they lost on the second night of a back-to-back with some injuries at home, right, and that went right down to the wire. So they feel like they match up well with Denver in a lot of areas. I think, though, that what can they learn? Mostly, I think they're going to be learning and benefiting from the success they had in the first round. In terms of last season against the Nuggets, they did not have Jaden McDaniels. They did not have Naz Reid. Both of those guys got good, hard, significant run in the first round against the Suns. And Jaden McDaniels in particular played really well. And so if they can get the contributions from Jaden McDaniels like they got in the Suns series, they're going to be in great shape, both defensively, but then in particular offensively, with the way that he rebounded, the way that he attacked the rim, he got to the free throw line, he made shots. Like, that's the kind of experience Jaden McDaniels needed after sitting out all of last playoff series against the Nuggets. And so just getting him those reps, really, really important. And then I just think they're going to be bringing Anthony Edwards into this, riding a wave of confidence that is going to make him hard to stop. He is the one matchup that I think the Nuggets have a lot of problems with. And so if you want to be optimistic about the chances of dethroning the Nuggets, it lies really in Jaden McDaniels and in Anthony Edwards. They're two young guys really coming through in the moment, which is not a stretch at all. You don't have to like hope and pray. You don't have to squint to see it. It's right there in front of you. And so they're going to feel really good about that, those matchups. And so thanks again to you for the Twitter question. And thanks to sglambchops.com, Shepherd Goods Lamb Chops Clothing Line, JONK20 for 20% off there.
Thanks to everyone who listens. Thanks to all of our sponsors. You can also hear John on the Viking Update Show. Again, if you like the show at TalkNorth.com, sports, outdoor, or other, please subscribe. We do appreciate it. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll talk to you soon.